San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, March 24, 2024, Palm Sunday. Today's lesson is Winds of Change with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Fearless Soul, they are just an amazing group, and it seems to me that they have songs for everything I want to talk about. Like today, Winds of Change, and their song, Always Changing. So I encourage you to go look them up on YouTube and listen to that one again and again. So I say unto you, Namaste. Now, namaste is the Sanskrit greeting that means that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. Because we are involved with each other. Because we are both part of the one consciousness that is all of life. One conscious life. So let us anchor ourselves in, remembering that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. This one life. We look around and we think that things change, but the truth is changeless. We have all of these different people have their own descriptions of who and what God or Spirit is and how God or Spirit interacts with mankind and the world. What rules there are, what laws there are. But I remind you, the divine is changeless. We get an opportunity with our free will to look at things the way we choose. If we choose to see a vengeful God, we will have experiences that align with our view of a vengeful God. If we choose to look at spiritual principle and listen and pay attention to the wisdom that we have been giving that God is love, then we are going to experience the whole life of knowing that since there's only one and it's love, that we are made of love. Everything we do is based in an underlying foundation of love. If there's one thing that I could get everyone on the planet to hear and understand, it is that we are one, made of the one life, the one love that is moving through us. I am not separate from the infinite love. You are not separate from the infinite love. The infinite love is who and what you are, what I am, what all of us are. And no matter how it looks, that is changeless. Doesn't matter how we behave, doesn't matter what we say, we are love. We are unconditional love. Now, this month, March, our theme is involvement. And involvement means participating, not just observing. And so participating means being a part of. And so when we are a part of the whole, we can express ourselves and greet each other with the term namaste, because that same truth within us recognizes that same truth within others. So saying the word namaste is just an acknowledgement of that. It's a powerful greeting, much more powerful than hello or goodbye or nice to see you. It's like, hey, we are anchored as one together. And so obviously we have a connection. Obviously, I'm pleased to see you. Maybe not obvious to other people. You know, I don't jump up and down and yell and scream and go, yay, you're here, oh, awesome, awesome. No, but I could if that were my style. If that were how I felt at that level of demonstration. I don't demonstrate like that. I do more of a one-on-one kind of thing. And other people like to be among large groups, and they find their joy in being in large groups, expressing, learning, growing. I don't mind large groups, but mine is a more intimate connection with different people. And you might think that would limit me, except that I feel that connection with absolutely everyone. Everyone. Even people I don't know yet. When I see them, when I meet them, I feel within me a sense of them. A sense of the oneness. And for that, I'm very grateful. One of the questions that we can ask ourselves, that we often ask ourselves, and I encourage you to say, what is mine to do? What is mine to do? There's another way to ask that question. It is, how can I be useful? How can I be useful? Now, it is slightly turned around. It's changed around a little bit in the words, but the meaning is the same. If I am to be used by the divine, as the divine, what is my way of being used? What is mine to do? How can I be useful? One thing I want you to always remember is that you are extremely useful to the person to whom you're speaking, or the person in your presence. Simply by being present, we are being very useful. And it sounds utilitarian, it doesn't sound spiritual, but Ricky Byers-Beckwith wrote this great song, Use me, oh God, show me what I can do. And when we open ourselves up to new opportunities, new ways of expressing that love that is within us, we are moving along with the winds of change, of the changeless truth. Every day we are different than the day we were before because we've had new thoughts, we've had new experiences. Even if we were all by ourselves, we still had new thoughts. Our thoughts, they don't just stop happening. They're always there. This is, today is Palm Sunday. And as we're thinking about change and the winds of change, I want you to think about that Holy Week when Jesus went into Jerusalem. They began the week proclaiming him as king and ended the week rejecting him. You might say it was a week in which dreams were shattered and their belief in Jesus as the Messiah was destroyed. At the end of the week, these same people who began the week proclaiming him as King of the Jews were now rejecting him and sentencing him to crucifixion on the cross. That's a pretty powerful wind of change. That's huge. So why? What changed? What happened? The people and the priests and the authorities felt threatened by what Jesus of Nazareth was saying. Because he was questioning them. He was asking and sharing something different from, not from what was written in the Torah, but from the behavior that was happening in Jerusalem, in the Jewish faith. There was a lot of posturing, a lot of arrogance, a lot of greed. Not that Jerusalem was that much different than a lot of things that we see now and that have always been seen. But here they had a man coming in and saying, well, you say this, but that is not what the Father said. You say stand on the street corner and pray and beat your chest and show everybody how devout you are by praying. But I say you are not praying, you are performing. You are performing for the people to try and show them how devout you think you are. Well, I want you to change how you look at communing with the Father. It's not a performance. It's an inner work. It's an inner communication. It's an involvement, not a performance. This week we've got Holy Week. That's what we call it, Holy Week. And Holy Week is the final journey of Jesus as man. It begins with his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his royal reception on a donkey, and being greeted by his supporters with palm fronds. And it includes his Last Supper, the agony in the garden, and his arrest and trial. Now, those parts of the four Gospels that describe those events, as well as the non-canonical Gospel of Peter, are known as the Passion Narratives. In the liturgical calendar, the Passion is commemorated in Holy Week, beginning on Palm Sunday and ending on Easter Sunday. Well, why do we call it Palm Sunday? Well, the palm, this was the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. The palm branch was a symbol of triumph and victory in the Greco-Roman culture of the Roman Empire. And so Jerusalem was under the rule of the Roman Empire. So they're bringing these palm fronds to honor this speaker, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was performing miracles and helping people see things in a new way. They called him the Messiah. They thought he was their new king. Now, some people thought he was going to be the king of the Jews and overtake militarily or through a coup or something Roman rule. Others looked at it as spiritual king. Now he rode in town on a donkey, and the donkey, the symbolism, is to fulfill biblical prophecy and something else. A donkey is an animal of peace versus the horse, which is an animal of war. A king came riding upon a horse when he was bent on war, and rode upon a donkey when he wanted to point out that he was coming in peace. So Jesus' entry to Jerusalem would thus symbolize his entry as the Prince of Peace, not a war-waging king. Then there's the name Jerusalem. It is known to many as the biblical city of David, which means the habitation of peace. Jerusalem, the habitation of peace. And when you think now about all the wars that have been fought over the city of Jerusalem, it's like, whoa, habitation of peace? Maybe 10% of the time. The other 90%, it seems like everybody's at war over there. Maybe it's habitation of pockets of peace. Habitation of the concept of peace. The Jeru means founding or constituting, and Salem means peace, quiet, harmony, and prosperity. So this city of David was the foundation, the founding place of peace, the peace of the divine, the harmony of the oneness. This was the place where Jesus came to tell the world that there is only one. That the kingdom of God is here and that it is within. Now, metaphysically, the triumphant return of Jesus to Jerusalem signifies the fulfillment of the promise of the great I am. When the great I am lifts mankind into the spiritual plane of divine mastery. A place where purity, harmony, and peace prevails. Huge. That is huge. It is simple, but it is huge. Now we know that the divine does not know large or small. It just When the divine says, I am that I am, this is where purity, harmony, and peace prevails. It's like, okay, done. Universe says yes, done. And all those who recognize it and believe it experience it. There was a man named George Bendall. Bendall, Bendel, who lived with Ernest Holmes the last couple years of his life. And he was sort of kind of his secretary and just someone who was there with him. And he was there when Ernest was giving a bunch of different lectures. After Ernest passed, George at one point thought, you know, these teachings, they're moving away from what Ernest taught. He was concerned about that. So he put together what are called the Holmes Papers. And this is volume one of the Holmes Papers, The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes. Now, what these papers were was when Ernest was giving this series of lectures, George was driving over to the lecture hall with Ernest, and he had a notepad and a pencil. And Ernest goes, "What's that for?" He goes, "Oh, I want to take notes. I don't want to miss anything." And he goes, "Oh, well, I'll just have Helen transcribe the talks for you." So every one of these talks that Ernest was giving was being transcribed and the hard copy given to George. And so George thought, well, I'm going to publish them. I'm going to put out what Ernest actually said. Since there seems to be this wiggle room around here of what religious science is, what Ernest taught, let's get back to the basics. I'm good with that. In this book, The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, Volume 1. In Chapter 1, the second sentence is this. It's a quote from Ernest Holmes. George, I have talked or written about only three things. There is one God common to all, in and through all things. There is a universe that responds with mechanical regularity to the spontaneity of our thoughts. The 11th commandment of theology, thou shalt love one another as I have loved you. Three things. One, two, three. One, there's one God common to all, in and through all things. Two, there is a universe that responds with mechanical regularity to the spontaneity of our thoughts. And three, the 11th commandment of theology, thou shalt love one another as I have loved you. Those things are changeless. Principles don't change. All the different writings that we have by Ernest Holmes and other New Thought leaders that sometimes seem to be different is simply a different way of restating an eternal truth. Principles don't change. We have the opportunity to embrace who we are today. With the comfort that we are exactly who we are supposed to be in this moment. We are where we are supposed to be in this moment. And the entire universe is ready to respond with mechanical regularity to whatever we claim. I kind of like that. I kind of like that. Are you with me so far? Okay. So, place your hand over your heart and know with me as I claim this affirmation. Today,
Today,
on this Palm Sunday,
on this Palm Sunday,
I follow my divine nature.
I follow my divine nature.
I am on my own personal journey
I am on my own personal journey
of self-discovery. And self-awareness. I am actively involved
I am actively involved
in a loving and conscious community.
in a loving and conscious community.
I am that I am.
I am that I am.
And so it is.
And
So simply breathe. Breathe. And know that you are all that is, and you always have been. You are in this moment the greatest that you have ever been, and you continue to be greater with every breath, because everything has been given unto you already. All the gift is already given. So on this Winds of Change, it's kind of appropriate. It is a very, very darn windy day today. It is very windy. The big sandwich sign outside, the big one, got knocked over in the wind. And so I went out and I turned it sideways so that the wind would pass through it, because that worked with the little sign. And it got knocked over again. And I went over and I braced it against the fence, and I kept thinking, well, is that going to work? I'm not sure. So I asked that it be brought in. No sooner was it inside when the winds kicked up even more and it started pouring. So yeah, its right and perfect place was inside today. But it's a very windy day. And so these winds of change move through our lives. And rather than be buffeted by them and fight against them, we get to be at peace within them. When there's a hurricane or a tornado moving around, it's spinning. And all the outside is chaotic and picking things up and moving them around and being stormful. But the eye of the storm is the center of peace. It is still. And so when we see all these winds of change flying around, it is good and very good for us to remember that the eye of the storm is peace, and we are the eye of the storm. We are that peace. And we are on our own sacred journey, just as Jesus had his sacred journey. We have ours. So what is yours? When you follow your divine nature, what are you doing? You are on a sacred journey of self-awareness, self-discovery, and self-realization. When you follow your divine nature, you recognize divinity within all things and within all people. When you follow your divine nature, you're following the indwelling presence of your higher power. You're following the path of Christ consciousness. And in so doing, you are building conscious community in and around yourself, your higher self, that self that knows. You aren't actually changing when you're on this divine, when you're following your divine nature. What you are doing is aligning yourself with the changeless. It may look like we're changing, but all we're doing is aligning ourselves with the changeless. We are moving in our natural state of being. Yeah, I like that. I like that too. Now, Jesus the Christ was following his divine nature. He was the great example of self-awareness and self-realization. He was the great example rather than the great exception. Too many organizations teach that what Jesus did was so miraculous, nobody else could ever do or be or behave or know like Jesus did. And yet, Jesus said to his disciples, his apostles, and to people, "These things and greater shall you do." And when he was going to move on, he sent out his apostles to teach and to heal. Now, if Jesus was the only one who could heal, why would he send his people out to heal? If he had all the knowledge, why would he send his people out to share this wisdom and this truth? Jesus was not a fool. He knew something that people are no longer telling us. Ernest Holmes, which I should have earlier mentioned, is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. He wrote about the divinity of Jesus and his impact upon humanity. And this is on page 367. Ernest wrote, "As the external Jesus gave way to the divine, the human took on the Christ spirit and became the voice of God to humanity. How wonderfully he did this constitutes the history of Christianity and much of the enlightenment of modern civilization. And yet it would be a grave mistake to suppose that he was different from other men. He was a man who knew himself and his direct relationship to the whole. This was the secret of his success." This was the secret of Jesus' success. To think of Jesus as being different from other men is to misunderstand his mission and purpose in life. He was a way shower and proved his way to be a correct one. His method was direct, dynamic, and powerful, yet extremely easy and simple to comprehend. He believed in God in himself as power and reality. Believing in God within, he was compelled to believe in himself. Simply stated, Jesus proclaimed his divinity through his humanity. And he paved the way for others to follow his example of love and compassion and peace. Believing in God within, the Father within, Jesus was compelled to believe in himself, with a capital S, his higher self. And this was true right up to the last few days of his brief ministry. Jesus had one last opportunity to present his divine self to the world and to those who questioned his higher authority. The question of whether Jesus would dare come to Jerusalem for the observance of the Passover holiday was on everybody's mind. Jesus was the talk of the town. He was a celebrity of his time. And soon it became apparent that this holy man, whom days before had performed miracles and continued to challenge authority, this man was coming to visit Jerusalem, the spiritual center and the hub of Jewish culture. It was a bold move that took careful consideration and forethought. You see, Jesus was making a statement of his divinity and the divinity of all mankind, and he was willing to take his message to the streets on that first Palm Sunday. And think about it, that was the first Palm Sunday. Prior to that, nobody brought out palms. It was like, oh, we don't have an Easter. We don't have Palm Sunday. You know, we're just going about our business. But here, the inception, the royal reception, Palm Sunday, coming into Jerusalem to speak the truth, to know the divinity within himself is the same in everyone. So even though Jesus knew that the authorities were looking for him, that they planned to arrest him if he came to Jerusalem for Passover, the city prepared a reception for him like no other. These were the winds of change that were moving. And the resistance to change. So these winds and the resistance were powerfully at odds in Jerusalem that week. So much so that we remember it 2,000 plus years later. Let us remember to remember and reflect upon the sacred journey that took place there over 2,000 years ago. During this Easter week, take a moment and honor your own sacred journey as you follow your divine nature of peace and self-awareness. I want to close this morning with a small story. So remember that Jesus is the way shower. He's just a man. He was more than useful. He was such a gift. His presence was such a gift to awaken us all. Neil Armstrong was an astronaut, and he was the first man to step on the moon. The famous quote is, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Well, Neil Armstrong visited Israel after his trip to the moon, and he was taken on a tour of the old city of Jerusalem by an Israeli archaeologist. When they got to the Hulda Gate, which is at the top of the stairs leading to the Temple Mount, Armstrong asked his guide whether Jesus had stepped around, anywhere around here. His guide answered, "These are the steps that lead to the temple, so he must have walked here many times." Armstrong then asked if these were the original steps, and the guide confirmed that they were. "So Jesus stepped right here?" asked Armstrong again. "That's right," answered the guard. "I have to tell you," Armstrong said to the Israeli archaeologist, "I am more excited stepping on these stones than I was stepping on the moon." More excited to walk where Jesus walked than to take the first step on a planet, on the moon. I kind of think that would be more exciting to me too. So I thank you for your time, for your attention, for being here on this windy, windy, windy Palm Sunday. And for being a changing catalyst for the changeless. Namaste.